Welcome to Saving You is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction podcast. Loving someone with an addiction is a life of chaos. This podcast is to help you take back your power and build strength, hope, and restore peace in your life. We use the science and art of positive psychology, professionals in their field, along with personal stories of hope, resilience, and strength. We hope you can discover how the courage to focus on you can help put your life back together. When you are in a place of exhaustion, hopelessness, and emptiness, we are a community that knows all too well the turmoil that comes from loving someone with an addiction. We are here to help you compassionately struggle well. Hey there, Andrea Seidel here. I hope you're doing as good as can be. And I always say that because if you're navigating the challenge of loving someone with an addiction, you are probably struggling. You are probably thinking, oh my gosh, this is so hard. What can I do? Where can I go? What resources can I call on? Who can I reach out to without feeling embarrassed or shameful or any of those things? You know what? You're not alone. And that is why I want to do this episode today on this idea of beyond the addict. Like, the focus is always on the addiction, on the addict, on supporting them, on practicing empathy and understanding towards their addiction, because quote unquote, it's a disease. But it's a disease like no other. And does it start with a choice? Yes, it does. And then, you know, but they can have a choice also to, once they're in active addiction, to get out of the quote disease. And so it does affect their brain. There's so much going on, of course. However, also, as a bystander in the shadows of addiction, we're watching the addict and we're watching this person go down this terrible downward spiral, and they're basically falling through like sand between our fingers. Like, it feels like there's nothing we can do. Not to mention, we are bystanders watching all this go down. So I wanted to do an episode on this idea of, you know what? The other side of addiction, or being in the shadows of addiction, is so hard. Nobody realizes that. All the attention goes, even with us, the loved ones, those that are in the shadows of addiction, it's unbelievable because we are watching them go down. We are struggling. We are being sometimes talked to inappropriately. We are staying up all night. We are worrying beyond belief. We're doing all this research. And I just want to create a space just for you that is all about this idea of, you know what, let's come back to you and let's recognize that it is so hard to love someone with an addiction. So when it comes to addiction recovery, we're just like part of bystander. Like, we are standing there on the sidelines hoping that someone's going to seek recovery, and there isn't a lot of support for us. And so I'm so frustrated by this, because I found this to be so true, and my whole world became about him and his addiction and his problem, and how can we help him? How can we fix him? How can we, you know, tiptoe around him to keep him, you know, quiet or not lose his cool. And how we walked on eggshells around the house. Oh, poor him. Like, we really did go into that mode. And it's like, you know what? Poor me. Look at what me and my children went through when he was in active addiction, and the bizarre behavior and the abusive behavior, and just so much of it was so hard on me and so hard on my children. And I can't even tell you like how hard that was. You're sitting there, if you're in the same muck, you're shaking your head going, yes, like, people don't realize this. So there are so many resources. There's so much support. There's so much understanding for those that are, you know, navigating the addiction. But what about those holding the fort together, holding the house together, you know, battling the chaos that addiction brings? What about them? What about, you know, those people. And so sometimes I just felt like, oh my gosh, enough is enough. Like, it's time to basically shine a light on me and shine a light on those who love someone with an addiction, the silent sufferers. That's what I call us. I'm not trying to victimize us. However, we are the parents, we are the partners, we are maybe the children, we're the friends of the addict. And actually, we are the ones who need support, but we are so often frequently overshadowed by the huge focus on the addict alone. And because that is a large and part of the problem, causing so much problem. But for far too long, I just believe that we're sidelined. The loved ones are sidelined. And, you know, sometimes we're expected to navigate this silently. And this is such choppy waters. This is so hard when we have a loved one with an addiction, right? We try to fix. Sometimes people even say to us, like, you know what? Like, you know, you should, how come you can't fix them? Or like, you know, you might get told, like, you know, how, fix the unfixable. And we're trying to fix the unfixable. And then we are told, you can't fix them. And then, you know, we're told, we're slapped with the labels like enabler, or you're codependent, or, you know, and so this is a desperate attempt right now. I just want to have this like awareness piece that this is not only, it adds so much pressure to what's already super, super hard. And it completely misses the point by all these, like, you know, treatment centers or like people telling you to seek your own recovery or go work your own program. You need treatment. You're addicted to the addict. Like, I'm sure you've heard all of these, which is so, so hard, adding insult to already injury. Like, this is why I go on this rant. I just want to wrap you in love. If you're listening to this, this is what this community is all about. It's so frustrating to constantly hear that, you know, we need to seek our own recovery, or that we must work the program ourselves, or that, you know, when we're already engulfed in this turmoil, loving someone with an addiction, right? It's so hard. We're also labeled with these things. And so these labels just introduce more feelings of shame and blame, and they basically add to the heavy burden that we're already carrying. So this is not helpful, right? The typical support that's out there right now, what they're telling all the bystanders, the loved ones, the advice that they're giving us is actually not helpful, and it's actually hurtful. And it's so time for us to wrap those who love someone with an addiction with compassion and understanding. That's what we need. That is what we're needing. Not, you know, telling us that we have a problem, or that we have an addiction to the addict, that we're an enabler, that we're codependent because we're helping, and then it's unhelpful helping, and then all these things. And so I don't know, today is just a little bit more of a rant for me, because I just feel so, you know, alive in my love for those who love someone with an addiction, because I was there. I know what it's like. I know how hard it is. And all I needed was a blanket of self-compassion, a blanket of compassion, a blanket of empathy, understanding. I was already going through so much that I didn't need to go to meetings that I felt like people weren't even really listening to me. And then it just brought me down even more. It was so sad. And then it was like, you know, thanks for sharing. It's like, okay, I just spilled my guts. I need a hug here. You know, like, so the problem with existing support systems, the traditional support systems that are out there, it's based on shaky foundations. In other words, it's like, it's outdated assumptions that, you know, one size is going to fit all, and that this is what we need to do. And I think that we've missed the mark when it comes to supporting those who love someone with an addiction. I think the focus entirely goes on the addict, and it's hard, right? So we're told to go to these support groups, and we're urged to use kind of cookie cutter coping mechanisms that don't really address the depth of what we're going through. It doesn't address it. So sometimes we're told perhaps that, you know, fix the addict. And that's very common. It can add to our frustration, because this expectation that we should be able to fix or, you know, care for the addict. It's like, I know I got my finger pointed from my addicted loved one's mom. Like, so what's the source of his problem? Like basically pointing the finger at me, like, I need to fix this. Like what? Maybe I'm causing him too much stress with having too many bills. It's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Anyway, so this can really be frustrating. Like, why can't you just make them stop? Like, what is it about your household and your relationship that's making him an addict? It's like, are you kidding me? Like, I should be able to fix this. Anyway, so this can lead us to feelings of failure or feelings of helplessness, because then we're also told that you can't save, fix, rescue. And so you kind of just have to be a bystander and watch it happen. And like, anyway, and then we're also labeled with this idea of enabler, like, or codependent. These terms just feel like so bad, because sometimes like even professionals or support groups will be telling us this. And so while this can be useful just for no understanding a dynamic or a certain dynamic in a relationship and how we need to put the focus on us, it can feel more accusatory. Like it's like pointing the finger at us, we're the problem, right? So it's kind of like, if you're paying the bills for this, you're the problem, you're enabling and making the addiction worse. It's like, so these labels are, they really do induce guilt. They really induce shame. And they just really are overshadowing a very complex situation, right? And so what we want to do is recognize this, right? And recognize that this pressure, we don't need more pressure. That's not working. This type of support doesn't work. And then also the pressure to attend support groups. I can't tell you how many times I was in, you know, support groups, or I was in like Facebook groups and things like that. And yes, they were so helpful that I felt like I was heard. But I was also told so many times, go to a meeting, go to a meeting, go to a meeting. And so I did. And it didn't resonate with me. I tried quite a few. And for me, it was just more about, it didn't support me in a way that felt loving, uplifting, helping me navigate this toughness. And so I find that sometimes, yes, of course, sometimes meetings can help us. Like it's different for everyone, but sometimes we have this pressure to attend these support groups and meetings for our addicted loved one or things like that. But meanwhile, that might not work for us. And that almost like puts us into this idea of, adds to our challenging. It can feel the pressure to attend these meetings. And, you know, and so sometimes you might hear that, right? You have to go to a meeting. Are you going to any meetings? Like, and so this adds more pressure, as if, you know, your recovery from their addict depends on going to these meetings and participating on these meetings. And so this can just make us feel even more pressure and feel more judged if we're not going to these meetings, or we're not doing enough, or like we're not working our own program, so to speak. And so this can add pressure to this ability to cope. And then the other thing that we're doing here is that this pressure also, we might be neglecting our own personal needs, focusing intensely on the addict. So what happens is that a lot of the support does focus on how are you helping your addicted loved one? Like, here's what you can do. Like, and of course, granted, we're very curious and we want to do what we can, but a lot of the support is focused on the addict. And what happens is it perpetuates this codependency. And what it does is it makes us focus on the addicted loved one and forget about our own needs and what's important to us. And focusing intensely on our addict leads to neglecting our own needs. And it can lead to burnout. It can lead to resentment. It can lead to quote codependent behavior, where our whole focus becomes them. And so, you know, we might be scared to leave because we're scared they're going to use, so that maybe we miss our own yoga classes or our own medical appointments or things like that, right? Because we want to keep an eye on our loved ones, or you know, this and that. Like, you can see how we focus so much on the addict in our life that it can be detrimental for us. It's so isolating as well. Right now, the current support is so isolating. We feel so alone. We can't really necessarily talk to friends and family because we might be hiding also the addiction in hopes that it gets better or goes away. We have some shame around it. We don't want everyone to know about it. So it can be very isolating already. And so loving someone with an addiction, like the family and friends, they may distance themselves to us too, because we might go back one too many times, or we might be tolerating things that they would never tolerate, but yet they don't know unless they were in the same situation as us. And so, of course, their love, it comes from a loving place, but that in and of itself can be so isolating. When we need understanding, we need emotional support, they may not understand the emotional toll that it's taking on our life. So this isolation can deepen the feeling of being judged on a social circle, right? And the situation that we're in leaves us to withdraw even more, even from support groups, if we feel attacked because someone might handle something a little different. So it's really important to understand all these things. It's so frustrating, right? Because there's so many problems with the existing support systems that are in place when it comes to those who love someone with an addiction. And again, I'm going on a rant today because I feel my heart just wishes that everyone could join us here at the SYCAM community, because oh my gosh, this is an empowerment community. This is all about, and we'll talk about that in a second, but these frustrations of the current support of what's out and why it's so important. I'm so passionate about it because it affects our well-being. It affects us on so many levels. So these frustrations can increase our stress and our anxiety. It can be, we're constantly trying to manage this crisis and we're worried about our addict. The focus is on the addict. It's perpetuating the problem of codependency. It's all also perpetuating these feelings of stress and anxiety because we feel isolated. It's also inducing potential depression or burnout or just languishing in general. And we feel helpless and hopeless. This is so sad. And then of course it affects our physical health, chronic stress, as we know. And so it erodes our self-esteem as well and just puts more pressure on us. And those negative labels are just so hard on us. And so it's just maddening. It's disheartening, right? The support that's out there right now. And I just want to offer you, just bringing this up is to recognize that there needs to be a new sort of narrative, or there needs to be a new way for the family, for the partners, for the friends, just that we're left to tend to ourselves. We're left in this sea of confusion of and pain in general, right? So again, I just want to offer this idea of we need to talk about addiction as a family, a true family disease. Yet, you know, they say that it's a family disease, but yet the focus is lopsided. The focus is lopsided. Yeah, it's a family disease. So but we're focused on the addict. So we need to stop pretending that, that the loved one, if the loved ones, go to support groups, or we have to stop pretending that, that there's just like the advice that we're giving the loved ones isn't what we're needing. So we need to acknowledge, I believe we need to acknowledge the immense burden and the emotional labor that loved ones carry day to day, day in, day out, day to day. And often it's worse because we're not numbing out if it's a drug addiction or alcoholism. And so, right? So we just want to make sure that we're validating feelings of fear, anger, sorrow, and recognizing, oh my gosh, this is common. This is what it's like to love someone with an addiction. It's acknowledging the immense burden. And so, this is basically, I really, my rant here is just because what we need isn't another support group. What we need isn't, told about, you know, the labels that, have come up. We need resources that acknowledge our individual journey, that acknowledge the heavy emotional burden that we are, you know, in front of us every single day, day in, day out. When you love someone with an addiction, we need to be seen as whole people and loved and supported and offered empathy, and that we're not just an extension of someone else's recovery narrative, or right. So it's really important that we want to foster environments that champion self-care, that champion resilience, that help us to build ourselves back up so that we can feel strong, so that we can feel empowered, and not just as afterthoughts, right? So my message is that we need to move ourselves up the totem pole and recognize that we are so important and worthy of prioritizing our well-being, our self-care, that we're not just, you know, mere like afterthoughts or collateral damage, or like, you know, that it's really, we need to prioritize ourselves. Support systems need to prioritize our resilience, our well-being, and focus on, you know, building ourselves up, on promoting emotional and providing emotional education to help us with these strong emotions that come up, so we can have tools and resources to deal with what's going on. We need to provide safe spaces for honest dialogue that feels like it's heard, instead of just, okay, thanks for sharing. Like, we need to also have validation for what's going on without judgment, just active constructive listening going on. All these things are so important, especially when we love someone with an addiction, right? So why are we not building this? Why is this not happening? And so that's why I really did create this, my books, the podcast, the community, because we want to equip people with the tools to empower themselves, right? Not scripts that basically bind us to another's problem. We want to really encourage and celebrate our courage in all of this. Like, we are, I always say, we're heroes in this story. Like, I want to tell you this, that you are a hero in this story, that you, and that's why constantly in our community, we're wrapping each other in love and compassion and uplifting support and tools of resilience and real-time resilience that we need when we are here day in, day out. And that's why I wrote the book, Saving Me, One Day at a Time, because it is sometimes just day at a time. Like, okay, how can I, you know, how can I build myself up today? Even if it's the smallest little thing, the smallest little step that we can take that kind of help us in this upward spiral to help build ourselves up and empower ourselves. So that is what this is. Saving You Is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction, our community. We offer a very different approach. Today's almost like a sales pitch for SYKM because basically it's like, that's why I created. I saw the problem when I was in the muck of support. I felt the shame and guilt of the labels I was given. And I felt the frustration of being told, you know, to go to meetings, but the meetings didn't really help me. And I kept searching for different meetings that felt uplifting and supportive. And so, yes, so that is the birthplace of this, right? And I didn't want to turn my pain put my pain to waste. So that's why I turned my pain into purpose. And that's what this whole community is about. So the SYKM community, I wanted it to be a beacon of hope. There's no money being made here. Even the royalties from my book go back into supporting the platform, the website, the platform, the podcast, everything here. So this community is just for you to build yourself back up. And by the way, if you do want to support back, you can write reviews, suggest the books, the communities of resource to other people. And then that'll really help get our books and resources into the hands of people that need it. Really, really important. If you're getting a lot out of this community, that's how you can support me. Share the words, share the ripple effect of this support, this uplifting support. Tell treatment centers about it. Tell recovery communities about it. Go into also communities where people are struggling with loving someone with an addiction. Maybe you have other groups that you belong to. Suggest the community, the resources, the books, and the podcast, because that's how we're going to spread the word and help people. So our philosophy is centered around this idea of self-care, but not just bubble baths and like, but true self-care. Like, how can we keep raising ourselves up? Self-compassion. How can we offer ourselves kindness, love, security, embrace during this tough time, and then have the courage to move ourselves up and prioritize our well-being and recognize that we're worthy of care and love and just looking after ourselves, well-being, safeguarding our mental health. And this is all about building our resilience and strengthening ourselves up, not just coping with someone else's addiction. It's beyond that. It's so beyond that. So that's what this initiative is all about. That's what Saving You Is Killing Me, Saving You Is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction community is all about. So I invite you to step into the community if you already haven't, you know, purchase some of the books. The books do support you in so many ways. They're all about you, not your addicted loved one. They're all about building you up, resilience, and just, you know, they teach us about this idea of real time resilience, positive, effective self-care practices, like not just, you know, rubbing cream or doing your nails. It's so beyond that. It's deep. It's all rooted in the science of positive psychology and the science of human flourishing. It's all about safeguarding your joy and your well-being and teaching us how to do that, right? Delving into this. This whole community is about that. It's a resource, a community that's aimed to really reinforce this message, right? It's designed to focus on you and nurture your own health, your own spirit, your own soul, and encouragement all through the community so you don't feel alone. We've been in the muck. There's nothing like the love and support and empathy that you can get from someone else who's gone through what you're going through. And so, yeah, so I just really want to shift the focus of surviving and coping to actual thriving, getting you north of neutral so that you can cultivate an environment that feels really healing for yourself and that you can be with other people that have been through what you've been through. So you can feel that heard, you can feel seen, you can feel be felt like you feel like you're understood, and that it's all rooted in empowerment and growth, right? This foundation. So, oh my gosh. So I know I just rant and raved about current support and how we need a better approach. We need a better approach to support. Like instead of the typical, what we've already talked about, we don't want to get stuck in that loop. It's a time for new strategies. It's a time to build us up. It's a time to feel like, you know, empowered through all of this because it is so hard. And I know I say it is so, people don't realize the shadow that's cast on the families, the parents, the loved ones, right? Until you're in that muck, you realize, holy cow, this is so hard. And so boom, this is so for you. I am just offering you so much love. The key takeaways here from today's message is that we are underrepresented. Our needs are underrepresented, right? The conversation today, I just wanted to highlight the often overlooked people that are touched and impacted by addiction. I wanted to go on a rant for hopefully, you know, treatment centers or people will hear this message or I get people that want to come on the show all the time that they're actually recovering addicts. I'm like, do you know what our show's about? Like, no, I don't want you on the show unless you're going to share with us how, like, we get into the lens for those who love someone with an addiction, but I prefer to make it all about lifting up those who love someone with an addiction, not about the addict. I don't want to focus on that. The impact of what's going on for us, the bystanders, it's like, okay, we can talk about that. You know, what's going on in your head so we understand you, sure. But I just want to talk about the underrepresented focus, the needs of those that are overlooked, right? And that's, you know, the support that we need when you love someone with an addiction, right? So this We want to face this unique challenge and just remember that we are frequently overshadowed. We are, you know, by the primary focus of the addict recovery and the addict in our life. And so we want to kind of stop that dynamic. We want to like take that spotlight and put it on ourselves, even though support right now out there, there aren't a lot of support that does that. So this is what the SYCAM community is. And this is what I'm encouraging you to do as well, is take that spotlight, put it on you, put your focus on you, your love towards yourself, and recognize, you know, you are so important, and recognize that yes, there is a bit of a problem, maybe a huge problem with existing support systems out there right now, but how might you navigate that? Recognize when you are being told, go to a meeting, here's, you know, you're codependent, you're an enabler, like, can't you just fix the problem? Like this and that. So I want you just to recognize that, yes, there is a problem out there with support, but then be proactive, right? Take the action that you can to really focus on you, shift the paradigm, and shift your own approach, right? To focus on you, find the courage to move yourself up on the priority ladder, wrap yourself with love and compassion, reach out to communities that are uplifting, that are supportive, that are about building your resilience. And yeah, so that's about it. That's about it. Oh my gosh. So I want to invite you to our community. Obviously, that's what this whole podcast is like, basically, you know, a rant about, you know, what I went through, but also to invite you, obviously, if you haven't joined our supportive community. I've been shadow banned on TikTok and Instagram, so I keep having to restart new feeds or new, like a new account. And I keep getting shadow banned because the title has addiction in it and it has the word killing in it. So they basically don't let my message get spread to the world. So, but where you can join me, which I'm really excited, is still YouTube. So I was just launched YouTube because I heard that that's the best place that I am, would be allowed to have my support there for you. And how I'm going to get around it is I'll reveal some of the ways that I'm going to get around it to support you in uplifting ways. But for now, definitely go over to YouTube and look for the YouTube channel Saving You is Killing Me. And I think that it's Loving an Addict is the subtitle, but you'll find me, Andrea Seidel. And also I have another channel, YouTube channel, which is called Live Life Happy. And that channel is, I'm just rebirthing it because I figure this is the way I can get out to the world for you and support you. And that one's going to be all about, obviously, because I'm obsessed with books. I have a publishing company. And so I love doing book summaries, highlights, things like that, that are all about uplifting books that we can take the actionable nugget and apply it to our life right away. So yeah, so that's all in the mix. I'm so excited about it. So definitely please subscribe to the YouTube channel because I just launched it and I would love to have you there. And if you're listening and watching here, then you're already here in YouTube. So make sure you comment and you subscribe and you hit the bell so you know every week we have new episodes. And so that's how we can stay connected. That's how you can stay with uplifting support. That's how we can build your resilience. You know, it's always rooted in positive psychology and the science of happiness studies. And so, yes, so I am so grateful for you being here. I am right here next to you. And I just want to wrap you with love and hugs and wishing you all the best this week. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening. If you want additional support, you can head on over to our website at savingyouiskillingme.com, where we have a wonderful, supportive, compassionate community. We are here for you. You are not alone. We also have a private Facebook group and Instagram feed called Saving You Is Killing Me, Loving Someone with an Addiction. Be sure to subscribe here so you get the latest episodes. And, of course, share this with your community and your support groups or anyone that's going through this struggle so we can all work together to take our lives back and restore joy. Thank you so much for joining me not only today but week after week. Although I wish we were meeting under different circumstances, I'm so grateful that I get to show up for you and share these episodes so that we can go on this journey together. Until next week, sending hugs.